You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up. Dolphins Talk.com podcast. I'm Sunday evening, April 21st. And your host, Michael Leva, flying solo tonight. As this is sort of part two of the show I did on Friday night, where on Friday I spoke about all the players that the Miami Dolphins might possibly take on offense at picks 21 and 55. Well, tonight I'm going to talk about all the players that are in play realistically for Miami to take on defense at picks 21 and 55 and sort of hone down on some of the names that are realistically in play for the Dolphins should they take a defensive player at pick 21 or 55. So we'll break that down on tonight's show. Before I get to that, as always, a big shout out to everyone listening at finheaven.com. Everyone go to finheaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. Also, a shout out to our friends at the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, please be sure you are part of the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook page. And wherever you're listening to this podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, YouTube, Google Play, Audible, we're on all the platforms. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. We are going to have shows for you each and every day this week in the lead up to the draft. Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, once the draft ends on those nights, Tom Earnesty and myself will be live with live shows, and they will drop in audio form right as soon as those are over, breaking down the picks Miami made specifically, giving you all the information on the players, how they fit in, and just sort of talking about the fallout of the draft. And if you're not subscribed to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, please do. Thursday night, Friday night, we are going to be live on YouTube all night. Once round one starts to round one ends. Once rounds two and three start till it ends, with wall-to-wall coverage of everyone from here at the website. It's going to be Stephen D., Jason Sarney, myself, Tom, Ian Berger, Josh, Aaron, and many, many more popping in throughout the night. So make sure you are subscribed to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. You'll see live reactions from a few of us once Miami makes their picks in those rounds. And yeah, so that's what we're going to do. Okay, picks 21 and 55 for defense. Now, as I said on the show on Friday concerning the offensive players, if they take players on offense, it's fine. It's a draft. You're hoping to get the best players to sort of build up your roster. I totally understand it. If I, you know, wave a magic wand and I had all the powers, I would, though, focus these two picks specifically and even double down with both picks on defense. I think our defense right now is a little bit of a mess. You know, I know there's a segment of Miami Dolphins fans, especially the loud ones on social media, who this offseason, you know, every player we lost on that side of the ball sucks all of a sudden, and every player we signed is just magically great. It's just not true. We lost Jerome Baker, Xavien Howard, Christian Wilkins, Andrew Van Ginkle, Raekwon Davis, Brandon Jones, and Deshaun Elliott. We replaced them with a 33-year-old Jordan Poyer and a 32-year-old Shaq Barrett, both who are most likely in the final years of their NFL careers. We signed six defensive linemen to one-year deals for all under $2 million. Half of those six won't even make the roster, and the other half, you know, I'll say the quiet part out loud, really aren't that good. Jordan Brooks is okay. Kendall Fuller is okay. Are they better than the guys we lost at those given positions? It's debatable. If the answer is yes, it's really not by much. So this defense needs an infusion of youth and talent, especially. And here's why I say that, because you look at the holes we have in offense, it's like wide receiver depth, not one or two. It's just depth, the number three and number four wide receiver. You want to maybe add another offensive guard for the interior of the offensive line. Now that we got back Lamb and Armstead, Austin Jackson and stuff. There's guys who are free agents like Odell Beckham, like Risner, the offensive lineman who's out there.
No, we can sign those guys post June 1st when all that Xavier Howard money comes off the book. On defense, those guys aren't out there. You got Carl Lawson, who is absolutely shot. He's not, I mean, this ain't 2017. Carl Lawson shot. He got nothing left. We're not going to bring back Agba. Like, and those are like, that's it. I mean, there's no other edge rushers or tackles of any consequence that Miami can really add. Now, if they want to go back and bring back Melvin Ingram and Justin Houston and the guys we had for the playoff games and all that stuff, go for it. But if the Dolphins, the past 2 years, you know, yes, we made the playoffs. We got in as a 7 seed 1 year and a 6 seed last year. If you want to go further, you want to win maybe an AFC East, you want to win a playoff game, the defense, which has regressed this offseason clearly, needs to be better. That's why I am all for drafting defense here in rounds 1 and 2, but at least round 1. Give me a blue chip player on defense, whether it's a tackle or an edge rusher of some sort who can, you know, come in and start day one. Because that side of the ball has a lot of holes. I think the offense, it's more, this was the number one offense last year, and they had offensive line, had a ton of injuries, a lot of various lineups throughout the year. Still number one offense at the end. I know they struggled versus teams that are good, but a lot of that, I think, was coaching. Just, you know, not running the ball at the right times, you know, some play calling decisions that were head scratchers. I think those issues can be fixed strictly with play calling, and maybe you do sign like an Odell Beckham, maybe you do sign a Risner or both, and I think you're fine at offense. On defense, you know, you're going from a Vic Fangio, who has an impeccable resume as a coordinator, to a guy who was only a coordinator for 1 year, lost his job, was fired, and was passed over for with the Ravens when they had an opening. They did not promote him. Then his coordinator last year, because he was a defensive line coach with the Ravens, gets a head coaching job in Seattle, and he doesn't hire him. So I'm not saying Anthony Weaver's bad. I'm just saying we don't know. And I think adding talent and giving him as much talent as possible on that side of the ball would go a long way in having the Miami Dolphins having a respectable defense in 2024. All right, let's talk about some players now. If they go defensive tackle in round 1, pick 21, there's really only two names to talk about here. Byron Murphy from Texas and Johnny Newton from Illinois. Now, Murphy, many people expect to go first, and now there's even word the past, you know, handful of days that he is skyrocketing up some people's draft boards, and he might even sneak into the top 10. You know, would Atlanta take him at 8? Would Chicago at 9? If they, you know, after they take Williams 1 overall at quarterback, you know, would they possibly then look to get someone who could be like an anchor on the other side of the ball for them? So I'm not saying that will happen. I'm just saying there's some chatter that it could possibly happen. But Murphy, again, his mock I've seen anywhere from like 9 through probably like 22, 23-ish. So there's a chance he could be on the board for the Miami Dolphins at 21. I'd say right now it's unlikely, but there's a chance. Because I think for him to fall to Miami, he'd have to get by a few teams. One, Cincinnati, who was terrible against the run. They're 18. You got the Rams at 19, who just lost a, you know, Hall of Famer on their line and that they still haven't replaced. And even if you go up a few more picks, you know, there are some other teams, probably one or two other teams who could take him. But really, I think it's 18 and 19, Cincinnati and Jacksonville, Murphy. If he gets by them, I think then, yes, he could fall to Miami. Johnny Newton's an interesting one. You know, some people have Newton actually rated higher than Murphy. The reason Murphy's rated higher by most, though, is because he has the prototypical size you want from an NFL defensive tackle. Newton's a little undersized, but what Newton has that Murphy does not have is he has a ton of production at Illinois, and he has a nonstop motor that does not stop. He has a great first step, great speed. He is a ball of energy who just doesn't slow down ever. The thing that's hurt Newton, though, and why, you know, when, you know, this draft process really starts January-ish and it ends, obviously, this weekend with the draft. Early January, February, most people had him mocked anywhere from, you know, 10 to probably 21. And Miami, the reason he's now fallen by smart people like Mel Kiper, Peter Schrager, they have him going in round 2. And part of the reason is Newton had off-season foot surgery. It's not feared to be very serious, but he has not been very active in this draft process. He's been unable to work out and stuff like that, obviously, with the foot surgery. Again, it's not viewed as anything serious, but that's caused his stock to fall. So if Miami gets, if Miami wants him at 21, it, I'm not saying it's a steal, but it's still a very solid pick. And him having the foot surgery might be a big reason why he's there at 21, as some teams, you know, picking higher, a little scared off by that, but it wouldn't be a bad pick. Like I said, Newton, he's was great in college, and he's got everything you want from an NFL player. Great kid, nice kid, nonstop motor. This is where the draft process gets a little crazy at times. Is he a little small? Yeah, you wish he had like some arms that were like an inch or two longer. So, I mean, it's like the minor stuff that people start to nitpick when they get, you know, down to the nitty gritty. But overall, you cannot go wrong with Newton. Like I said, if they take him at 21, I'd be fine with that. Because I think, again, either one of those two guys, Murphy or Newton. Now, if I had my pick, I'd probably right now take Murphy. Because I just think he's your prototypical NFL tackle that you can probably plug and play in there for Christian Wilkins. He's got the size, not as experienced as Newton, but you can coach him up and he'll be fine. But Newton, again, it's razor thin when you're talking about those two players. Now, if they decide they want an edge rusher in round one, this is where it gets interesting, because I think there's four names in play for an edge rusher at pick 21. They are, and this, I'm going to say the first name, which I never thought I would have until this weekend, is Dallas Turner, Alabama, Latu from UCLA, Jared Verse from Florida State, and Chop Robinson from Penn State. Now, there's a clear gap here between the top three of Turner, Latu, and Verse, and then Chop Robinson. Up until about like probably this weekend, most people expected, and they still do, expect Turner to be the first edge rusher off the board. Most people have been going to Atlanta, A, because Atlanta needs pass rush help, and they've used so many picks in recent years on offense, they have to use an early round pick on a defensive player. So everyone expects him to go there. There's been some rumblings that, you know, Latu could go a little higher. Now, there's red flags on Latu in that he's had neck issues in college, and there might be some teams that haven't cleared him medically. But if, you know, he's cleared medically, some people think he's the best pass rusher in this class. And if he's cleared medically, then there's nothing to think about. If he's the best and you have him rated higher, he could go, you know, as high as 8 or 9 or something like that. I don't know. I still think Turner's going to go 1. It's probably more of a safer pick because he doesn't have that medical issue. But many people have, you know, if Latu's cleared medically, some people have him number 1. If not, Turner's 1. Now, for either one of these three guys, of Turner, Latu, or Verse, to fall to Miami at 21, a lot depends, obviously, what happens 1 through 20. What we know, I mean, what safe guess, never want to say for sure, but safe guess, four quarterbacks are going to go off the board in the top 20 with Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and J.J. McCarthy. Those guys are going probably in the top 10, for sure top 20. The question is, will Penix or Nix go in the top 20? If that fifth quarterback goes, that's great for Miami because it pushes another position player down the board. Now, we know for sure there's probably going to be at least two quarterbacks will go in the top 20. You got the kid from Toledo and Arnold from Alabama. Will a third or fourth corner go in the top 20? If you get a third, obviously that pushes another position player down the board. If you get a fourth, that pushes two more position players down the board. That's good for Miami. Does Brian Thomas Jr., the wide receiver, go in the top 20? If he does, great. That pushes another position player down the board. Does someone like Xavier Worthy, or someone who's got a lot of excitement around him, does he sneak into the top 20? I mean, I highly doubt it, but if he did, again, pushes another position player down the board. So you kind of see where I'm going here. Draft night, if you want the Dolphins to get one of these edge rushers, you got to hope you get 5 quarterbacks in the top 20. You get at least 3, maybe 4 corners in the top 20, and you hope someone takes Brian Thomas Jr. Because if those things happen, you can't say for certain, but one of those edge rushers will be on the board to pick 21 most likely. Now, the one I think who would most likely be there, and again, this is a tough one because of the Latu medicals, I think Jared Verse is probably the most likely one to be there at pick 21. I did my final 3.0 Miami Dolphins mock draft, which I put out on Sunday, which is up on the website at dolphinstalk.com, and I did have Verse going 21 to Miami. I will say this year is one of the hardest years I've had to mock for Miami in round one. Most years I have a good feel on it, at least the position and on the position which players. This year is a little tricky because they got a few needs, obviously with edge rusher and tackle. And it's tough because of the Latu medicals to sort of get which order these guys are going to go in. But I sort of concluded on Verse at 21 to Miami. I think he comes in and starts day one, and I don't think he would give up the job. He fills in short-term, obviously, for Jalen Phillips and Chubb as they rehab and get better. And I think long-term he would replace Chubb because I could see Miami moving on from Chubb either after this upcoming year or after 2025. I think Verse is that good. You know, he's very good against the run. He can set the edge, and he can get after the quarterback as well. Verse reminds me of a very solid NFL pass rusher. He may never win. You know, he'll go to a couple Pro Bowls. I don't know if he'll ever be All-Pro. He might win an award like the Defensive Player of the Year. I don't think he's ever going to win anything like that, but I could see him being an 8, 9, 10-year starter for a team who just gives him solid production that entire time. So I got Verse in my final mock, which you can read the whole thing. I mock every pick that Miami has in rounds 1, 2, 5, 6, and 7 this year. And for those of you who think, oh, it's just another mock, last year I did nail Achan to Miami round 3 based on information I was told and some other stuff. So I'm not just out there throwing darts, folks. Trust me. I actually have a little bit of a resume. Every now and then I hear stuff. But this year was one of the most challenging years I've had with this mock because I'm not quite sure what the thought process is here as opposed to other years. And it's been tough to get information. Now, I left Chop Robinson out because I said, because after those top three, there's a little bit of a gap. But Chop Robinson is like knocking on the door. He's someone who's probably going to go later part of round one. So I would say, you know, pick 22 to 32. That's totally Chop Robinson land. If Miami took him at 21, not a reach, totally makes sense. Chop Robinson is a physical freak. He has been compared to Micah Parsons, who also came out of Penn State, of the Cowboys. He's not coming into the league as good as Parsons. Parsons came into the league a finished product. Robinson needs a little time here. You know, year one, will he play? Will he be able to contribute? Absolutely. You might not see the best out of a Chop Robinson until 2025, though. Honestly, he might need a year of sort of seasoning with NFL coaches. But if Miami won Chop Robinson and pick 21, honestly, I wouldn't be upset with that pick either just because I know how much of a physical freak he is and I know how good the potential is there. He's a guy who's literally has everything you need to succeed in the NFL. So that would be an interesting one. So those are the four edge rushers. Now, I spoke about tackles, spoke about edge rushers. There's really no other, like, quote-unquote, traditional linebackers in round one this year. It's kind of a weak year for linebackers. So then let's talk secondary. I find it unlikely Miami would take a cornerback in round one because Cam Smith, they took in round two last year, didn't play. It's almost like having a bonus pick in this year's draft because it's like having a guy that you took who you don't know if he's any good or not. So I find it very unlikely they would take a corner in round one or two. It's never impossible with Greer because that is a premium position. We know how much Greer loves them, but I just find it unlikely. The one wild card name is Cooper DeJean out of Iowa because he can also play a little safety. He can play safety in a nickel package, which with Anthony Weaver, everything we've been told and kind of know about him, he likes to play a lot of three safety sets. Well, right now, Miami does not have, you know, three quality safeties to play in a three safety set. And plus, Jordan Poyer, like I said, about to be 33, one-year deal, probably his last year in the league. Javon Holland, final year of his deal. He might not be in Miami next year. I know all fans want him to be, and they think Chris Greer should move heaven and earth to pay him. Well, you also have to pay Tua, Waddle, and Phillips. They might not be able to keep Holland. You might want to get a young safety here early, someone who can at least play safety early, and have him obviously this year for the three safety sets, but then next year have someone you can pencil in as one year, two starting safeties maybe. I think it's unlikely. I'm not saying I would do it either. I wouldn't do it, but it's a wild card because he can also play corner, so he gives you value there, and he can also slide over this year in safety, so there's a little position flexibility there. Just something to keep in mind. But, you know, round one, pick 21, those are the names. I think if they take a player on defense, it's going to be Murphy or Newton or Turner, Latu, Verse, Chop Robinson, or Cooper DeJean. Those are probably the only names on that side of the ball I could see them taking in round one. Let's talk pick 55. Here changes a little bit. And how it changes a little bit is, let's start with edge. there's one guy who qualifies as an edge in round two that Miami could take. So if they don't take an edge in round one, unless they take this one guy who should be there in round two, I'm not even saying, well, who will go in the top part of round two. If he makes it to 55, I have no earthly idea. And that is the other Robinson from Missouri, Darius Robinson. And he's a little bit of a tweener. He can play edge, or he can also, if he puts on some size, be moved sort of into like the Christian Wilkins role. It all depends what team takes him and how they want to use him. I'm going to sort of label him as an edge for now, because I think in Miami that's how he would be used. But other than him, there's no other edge rusher. So if Miami does not take an edge rusher in round one, and they because right now, on April 21st, I record this. On April 20th, they only have one healthy edge rusher. You know, Shaq Barrett, who's on the wrong side of 30. I don't know what's going to happen this draft. If they take one around one, great. They still got to add edge rushers this offseason, because you can't go into a year. I know Jalen Phillips said he wants to play week one. Again, I hope he's right. You can't bank on it. And Chubb, we know, won't be in September. Or who knows when he's coming back. They need edge rushers. So if they don't take one in round one, round two, there's really nobody there worthy of taking a pick 55, unless they take someone like Robinson from Missouri, who I don't know if he'll be there at 55. He could go late round one or like in the mid-30s, late-30s, early-40s, and never make it to 55. So edge, it's pretty much round one or bust, and if they don't get one in round one, then when it comes to those picks in round five, two picks in round six, one in round seven, if they want to use two of them on edge rushers there and hope one of them hits and can make the roster, great. I totally get that logic there. Defensive tackle, I think there's a prime spot to get one if they don't take Murphy or Newton in round one. I think there's a bunch of guys here at 55 who could be there for Miami, who I think could, I mean, I don't know if they're going to come in and start, but I think they have more upside than the six guys they signed this offseason. Let's just say that. And in no special order, I think the names are Mason Smith of LSU, Braden Fisk of Florida State, Chris Jenkins of Michigan, the kid from Clemson, Rook Arroyo, and Mike Hall from Ohio State. If Miami took anyone down 55, I'd be okay with it. The two names that really stand out are Chris Jenkins and Rook Arroyo from Clemson. And I'm probably sure I'm saying that name wrong, but his last name looks like an eye chart. It's just a bunch of letters. It's really tough. Jenkins doesn't have a lot of stats at Michigan because they were always up by so much in their games this past year specifically. As a defensive tackle, you know, he really wasn't asked to stop the run. I mean, he didn't rack up stats because they were always in blowouts. And in the second half of those games, he didn't have to do much, if that makes sense. But Jenkins is strong. I mean, he's one of the strongest people in this draft. Stout, and I think, you know, if they draft him, he's someone you can put in there to replace a Raekwon or a Christian, and you'd feel fine with that, you know, day one. Probably more of a Raekwon guy who could sort of step into that role pretty quickly and have success. But, yeah, that'd be fine. And the kid from Clemson, again, it's pick 55. Once you get to round two, these guys aren't as much of a finished product as the guys in round one. But Rook Arroyo from Clemson, I think that's a great pick there for Miami if they take him. I could see that being a smart pick too if they don't get someone like Murphy or Newton in round one. So those are pretty much the only names for tackles in round two. I think that make a little sense. And then to close out the secondary, again, I don't see a cornerback per se in round two because the Cam Smith thing. But again, safety is still a need for all the reasons I said with Holland and final year his deal and Poyer. And in my mock draft, the 3.0, at pick 55, I had Miami taking the safety. Javon Bullard from Georgia, I have him as on my board, which I know is just my board, as the top-rated safety. And like I said, if Anthony Weaver is going to run a lot of three safety sets, he has the skills to be sort of in that mix. And a year from now, he's someone who has similar skills to Jordan Poyer, who probably could replace him. Kid's got a high football IQ. Kind of reminds me of when we took Holland at the top of round two. Just a solid person, just a solid player, and it would be a solid pick. The only thing going against this is Chris Greer, traditionally, like 9 times out of 10, likes to take those premium position guys in rounds one and two. Holland, you know, he took Holland the 1 year, so we will go off that for the right guy. I just don't know if Javon is that right guy. But, yeah, I had him taking Javon Bullard out of Georgia at pick 55. Some other names at safety at 55 that makes sense are Cole Bishop out of Utah, Jaden Hicks, Washington State, and Tyler Newbin, Minnesota. So those are the names, I think, that are in play for Miami, 21-55. Again, I have no earthly idea what they're going to do. At 21-55, they might go offense with one pick and one pick on defense. And they may pick one pick on defense, one pick on offense. But just like I did on the show Friday, I went through the possible names that realistically make sense for Miami at either 21-55. And this show, I'm just going over the names on defense that realistically make sense at 21-55. If it were me, if an edge rusher's there, taking him number one. If you can get Latu or Verse, at pick 21, I'm jumping all over it. Or Murphy, pick 21, I'm jumping all over it. And then if it's not one of those three, if Newton's there, I jump all over that. I just think those make the most sense. And at pick 55, kind of got to see how the board falls, and you got to know who you took in round one, obviously. But like I said, this defense is a little bit of a mess right now heading into the season. I know there's a lot of Dolphins fans that don't like to hear that, and I'm not trying to make anyone mad. I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy. I'm just giving you my honest opinion. This defense is a bit of a mess, and if you're telling me in round one we had a Verse, and then in round two we could add a safety like Javon Bullard, or even if we don't, we took a Chris Jenkins from Michigan, it would go a long way to having this being somewhat more of a competent defense heading into 2024, I think. I think that's where the biggest holes are. I know there's holes on offense. Offensive guard, right guard in particular, is a big hole. I know wide receiver depth is big. But like I said, there are guys out there we can sign pretty much in May or even post-June 1st when all that money comes off the books. On defense, I don't see those names out there to sign. So we'll see what Chris Greer does, but that's kind of how I view rounds 1 and 2 for Miami. Once you get to rounds 5, 6, and 7, it really is taking the best available player. You're not really picking for need, because you cannot pick a guy around 5, 6, or 7 and expect him to come in and contribute, you know, as either a first string or second string guy in year one. So it's more about picks 21 and 55. That's where this draft is going to be won or lost for the Dolphins. You know, I know some people want to trade down. Again, as I've said, if they trade down, I would trade down to 55. I would not trade down to 21. Because if they trade down from 55 to, like, say, 60, and they pick up a pick around 4, great. Because the guy you probably want at 55 will most likely still be there at 60, or someone who's very comparable will probably be there at 60, if not the guy you love. So I'd rather do that. At 21, like I said, watch those quarterbacks, watch those cornerbacks, and even watch Brian Thomas Jr. If they all go in the top 20, 5 quarterbacks, 3 or 4 corners, that fourth wide receiver with Brian Thomas, Miami's going to have a very good player, whether it's Murphy, whether it's Latu or Verse, fall right in their lap, and I would not pass up any of them. And I wouldn't pass them up for Graham Barton. I wouldn't pass them up for Jackson Powers Johnson. I wouldn't pass them up for pretty much any offensive lineman that falls. I would run that card up and get one of those impact players on defense, because I think they really need that to be competitive in 2024. We'll see, though. Chris Greer's an interesting guy. I know, you know, he has his habits, as I spoke about on the show I did Thursday. He has his habits, and a lot of his habits, he doesn't stray from them. But every now and then, we don't know how much he's feeling the pressure. If he feels like he's on the hot seat or anything like that, and if he does, he might, you know, if he does not, I should say, then he might take a guy who might not play much this year. He might take someone like Mims out of Georgia and go, he's Armstead's replacement next year. This year, sit behind Armstead. You know, it could be something like that. And if he does, I know there's going to be a segment of fans of the Dolphins will be very upset. But I also kind of get it, because left tackle is a premium position. They're very expensive to pay. And you want to get one with a fifth-year option who is already on your roster. So a year from now, you know, Mims is your left tackle. Austin Jackson's your right tackle. You ain't got to worry about it. So if he does something like that, I wouldn't agree with it, but I understand it. To me, it's just about getting better players on defense, because they've lost a lot on defense. And yeah, that's what they got to improve. All right. Once again, thank you all for listening. And thank you always all for listening. As I've been saying on these past few shows, we really do appreciate you taking the time out to listen to our podcast here at DolphinsTalk.com. I know there are a million podcast options these days, not just with the NFL, not just with the Miami Dolphins, just in general on any topic, whether it's an NBA podcast, a baseball podcast, a hockey podcast, whether it's a podcast on politics or true crime. We know you have a million options, but we really do appreciate each and every one of you who take the time to listen. And when you send us feedback on social media or if you send me like an email, it's very much appreciated. So thank you so much for all of you who listen to our podcast and that have made it a success over these past however many years. We really do appreciate it, and I cannot thank you enough. Again, be sure you're subscribed to our podcast wherever you're listening, Podbean, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast, wherever. Just subscribe. Hit that subscribe button. It's going to be a fun week, folks. We're going to have a ton of shows, a ton of content to have you covered. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, after those rounds end, after those nights end of the draft, Tom and myself will be up late with shows talking about who we did draft, giving you all the information you need on them, breaking it down. And, of course, like I said, YouTube, Thursday and Friday, wall-to-wall coverage. And you can join us in the chat. You can send us questions. You can just whatever. Have some fun with us because that's what it's about. This is the NFL. It's football. It's supposed to be fun. Yes, we all want to see our team win. At times we get frustrated with them, but it's always all about fun. So be sure you're subscribed to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel and in our chat on Thursday and Friday on YouTube when we're live with the wall-to-wall coverage. Check out the website, dolphinstalk.com. I got a bunch of new content up, a bunch of new articles, mock drafts, podcasts. Check them out. If you've missed any of our podcasts previously, in like the past few days, I did one Friday, I did one Saturday, then we got this one. I did one with Tom where we had a spirited debate on what Miami should do with 21. Tom's wrong, I'm right. I'm just kidding. But you can listen to that as well. Thank you all for listening. Hope everyone has a great start to the week on Monday. We'll talk to you again after a while. And folks, don't forget, we must put an end to highway profanity.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.